Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service today. Welcome to you wherever you are listening to us, whether you're at home or whether you are far from home. Maybe you're listening to us overseas. Wherever you are, we are delighted that you can join with us today. I also want to welcome particularly those who are joining us for the first time, and also to welcome those who are joining us through the telephone dial-in service for the first time. Maybe over recent weeks you haven't been able to hear our services, and so we're really, really delighted to have you back worshiping with us, and welcome to our service today. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about life in the early church, which we hear about in the book of Acts. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the book of Acts is in the New Testament. It comes just after the four Gospels. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of how those first followers of Jesus received his Holy Spirit and began to meet together and to do all sorts of amazing things and to travel to share the good news of what God has done with other civilizations and cultures. And we also hear in the Acts of the Apostles how those first followers of Jesus helped to make him known throughout the world. Our first hymn today speaks about the beauty of coming together as God's people to worship him. That was a practice that was started by the early church, which we'll be thinking about in our service today. So we're going to join now in our first hymn, I Come With Joy, A Child of God. Our Bible reading today comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Those of you who were with us last week at our service might remember the way that we were thinking together about those things in our lives which prevent us from recognizing Jesus. We were thinking about things like our busyness and our preoccupation with other things. And we spoke too about our expectations about what Jesus should be like and how the reality we experience can be very different to that. And we spoke too about our fear, because it is scary sometimes to think that if Jesus is who he claimed to be, what implications does all of this have for the way that I live my life and make my response to what he has done for me? So today I'd like us all to move forward to consider some signs of positive recognition of Jesus. And I'm thinking particularly today of that vehicle which Jesus uses to make himself known in the world today, the Christian church. And our Bible reading today from the Acts of the Apostles is all about life in the early church. Over the past 6 weeks or so, life in every church around the globe has taken on a very different dimension, with our buildings being closed to the public. But while our buildings are closed, as the sign on our own front door says, the building may be closed, but the church is still very much open. And the church is open because we want to pray for people. We want to support one another in community and fellowship, and we want to introduce others to the saving love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So while the building may be closed, the church is very much open. One of the questions that's asked of the church in every generation is, how do we pass on the faith? How do we reach out to the younger generation? We hear people saying things like, where have all the teenagers gone? What can we do to attract them back in? And that's a problem that has troubled every church that I have ever been a part of. I remember vividly our last bishop sharing with the clergy one time his experience of spending 3 days with a group of Christian young people who were about to leave school and to head off to university. And he asked this gathered group of young people whose faith was really important to them what they would be looking for in looking for a new church when they headed off to university. And he discovered certain things. And I thought they were really interesting, and I'm going to share them with you today. First of all, our former bishop discovered that denomination was not so important to these young people in a way that it might have been to our generation and older generations. So what it really meant, in effect, was that the Anglicans, who were part of this group, well, they wouldn't necessarily be heading off to the nearest Anglican church, or the Presbyterians wouldn't be heading off to the local Presbyterian church, and so on. But instead, these young people told our former bishop of three important things that they would be looking for, which are all actually spelled out for us in this picture that we've been thinking of about life in the early church in Acts chapter 2. And if we were to put it maybe in a slightly different way, these would be positive signs of places where Jesus could be recognized because of the sorts of activities that were going on. So first of all, they told our former bishop that they were interested to find worship that was lively and engaging. And we might ask, does that mean drums and guitars and the sort of worship that people sometimes refer rather sniffily to as happy clappy? Well, it could mean those things. In my own experience, I'm always interested to see the way people come to appreciate different forms of worship. Sometimes those who have grown up with very free and unstructured forms of worship find that there is a real value and beauty and stability in the liturgy of the Anglican Church, which we are a part of here. People love the prayer book and the words that give so much meaning and life to our services when we pray them intentionally and wholeheartedly. And vice versa too. Those who love drums and guitars also, over time, very often appreciate the words and the sentiments in those great traditional hymns, or they find value in meditative worship, as we have experienced here in St. Finian's, from places like the Teze and the Iona community. I had a really lovely message just this past week from someone who was listening to our service last week and greatly appreciated the Teze chant that was part of last week's service. They'd never heard it before, and it touched them very deeply. But to me, whatever worship style we have a particular preference for, or whatever fires up our soul, is in one way not the most important thing. What is truly, deeply most important is that those who come to our worship, or those who are maybe listening today via the telephone or the internet, that they know we mean what it is that we're doing, that we are engaged with it, that it touches our heads and our hearts and our emotions. That's what lively and engaging worship means to me. There are different styles, and we do try here to use different styles and forms of worship, but does it touch our heads, our hearts, our emotions? Does it connect us with the living God? And when people come to share our worship with us, is it something that they tangibly feel when they enter into that experience with us? The second thing these young people mentioned to our former bishop, which was so central again in the life of the early church, was that the early church was a place where people could be taught from the Word of God. In our reading from the book of Acts, we hear that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, the early church was a place where the Bible was taken seriously, and every effort was made to relate what it said and taught to people's daily lives and experiences. And so it seems that these young people told our former bishop they wanted to go to churches that treated the Bible in that way. They wanted to find teaching that was relevant to the issues that they were dealing with in their lives. And of course, we know that there are a huge amount of challenges out there, some of which we'd rather our young people had no knowledge or experience of. But can we reflect and teach and share what the Bible teaches about these challenges? If so, it can help not just our young people, but our whole church, and indeed make a really important contribution to our society. So in the early church, they looked for worship that was real and engaging. They wanted to hear teaching from the Word of God. And the last thing that these young people stressed to our former bishop was church as a place of real relationships. And maybe a word that we might use to describe that is community. That church would be a place where people are made welcome. That church would be a place where people genuinely care for and pray for one another. In recent blogs that I have been trying to share with the congregation, I've been mentioning some stories that people have shared with me about the way our church family have cared for them during lockdown. Because you see, it's really significant and really important when people from your church family phone you and they assure you of their prayers. Or when people from your church family have helped you with shopping or prescriptions, or have dropped their telephone number through your letterbox when they're on their daily walk to say, if there's anything you need, let us know and we'll try and get that for you. Or maybe if someone from your church family have left meals or soup or buns that they've baked on your doorstep, those kinds of actions create an amazing fragrance of love in our community that is so appealing, not just for the recipients of those acts of kindness, but also for those looking in from the outside in the new church that we all inhabit, the church without walls. You see, people everywhere in our world at the present time are looking for community. They're looking for real relationships beyond the superficial. I wonder, as we look to the future, can we begin to think of life beyond lockdown and what our common life in church will look like together? As we read today of the early church and we think about its growth and its life, I wonder, are these goals that we have been thinking about that were part of the life of the early church, I wonder, are these goals that we could pursue wholeheartedly together here? Real and engaging worship, whether live together in this church building or in the church hall or over the internet or the telephone. I wonder, can we also be a church that longs to know more of the Bible's teaching in our lives? And can we be a place of real community, of deep and caring relationships. The signs are all there that these are things which are important to us. But can we make them our absolute focus going forward? The impact, when we look at the early church, is that when those things are in place, God added daily to their number those who were being saved. And wouldn't that be a truly glorious thing to see happening in our own day? After all the trials and tribulations of the current pandemic, let us pray. The response in our prayers today to Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you today for the priorities and the example of the early church. In these days of challenge and opportunity, we pray for a renewed focus or prioritizing of the most important things in the life of our church. We pray today for our worship. May it be engaging and real. May it bring you honor and glory. May we humble ourselves in your holy presence, recount your mercy and forgiveness, and be refilled constantly with your Holy Spirit, equipped to serve others, to share our resources generously, and to share our faith generously, and to make you known in our neighborhood, our land, and throughout the world. We pray too for a real hunger for the Word of God, that we might treat your holy Word with reverence, that we might apply it to our lives, and that we might allow it to transform our character from the inside out, so that we become people who are more like Jesus. We also pray today for our common life of prayer and service to one another. Help us to care deeply and to love one another from the heart, to love and to care for our neighbors in practical ways, thus showing and sharing your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world today. We pray for all our world and international leaders, and we pray for medical officers in all the countries of the world making important decisions about when to come out of lockdown and to resume activities like school, business, and travel. Lord, we ask that you would give great wisdom in the timing of all these things, so that people can stay safe and protected from danger. And we pray too that people would cooperate with the guidelines and act carefully and responsibly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray today for all who are finding lockdown difficult. We pray for children and teenagers missing their friends from school. We pray for the elderly in our community who are missing visits and hugs and fun with their friends and their families and their grandchildren. We pray too today for those who are in broken relationships and forced to stay together at the present time in very stressful situations, asking for your hand of protection and grace to be at work. We pray for the parents of children with behavioral problems who feel overwhelmed and frustrated with no signs of respite or relief. And we ask, Lord, that you would be their rock of peace and the calm in their storm. We pray too today for all key workers, those on the front line and their families, in the pressures, anxieties, and stresses of their daily life and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also want to take some moments in quiet today to pray for all those known to us who are sick, either at home or in hospital. We also want to pray in the quietness for undertakers and funeral directors arranging funeral services in very restricted circumstances. And we want to pray for all families going through times of grief, unable to hug and to support one another in the normal way at such a time. In the quietness, Lord, we bring all who are on our hearts into your healing, holy presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as our Saviour Christ has taught us, we join all our prayers together as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Before our final blessing, I just want to say thank you for joining with us in our worship today. If you wish to connect with us, please do check in frequently on our website, www.stfinians.org, or check in to the St. Finian's Parish Facebook page. And on both of those particular channels, you'll find that there are resources to help you with prayer and other resources that may be useful to you in this time of lockdown. But if you wouldn't mind just bowing your head wherever you are for our final blessing. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you and all whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a real spur to us to not only take our faith to heart, but to share it with others as if it was the most important thing that we own and the most precious gift that we can share. We join together in the hymn, Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God, Awake.